B61. Number 7B.
So, the very first thing, therefore, in a scientific treatment would be to lose sight of the problem. As he said, he usually said, put it behind you in the corner and don't look at it anymore, don't talk to that problem anymore, don't argue with that problem anymore, because that problem will constantly argue within our mind. It will talk without that we ask it to talk. It just begins to talk and gives us some kind of fear and anger and resentment and brings up all the self-righteousness within ourselves and all these qualities, and you begin to ruminate with that problem. It follows us through all the day, from morning to night. We think about the problem. And if we don't think about the problem begins to think about us. And suddenly we feel how the suggestions come in. And therefore, we have to be very careful about that situation and see that we will get nowhere if we go out from error. Error cannot tell us anything. Because even by reversal of that error, we do not arrive at truth, because we do not know really what lies behind the problem. So that, say, a lack of substance is not just the counterfeit of the abundance of life and the abundance of spirit. Lack of substance in our life can have many, many, many other causes, mental causes. It can be an archetypal belief, it can be a hereditary belief, it can be all sorts of things. It can be that we are not open for the truth, that we are not going forward in our mentality. It can be all sorts of things that bring about, say, lack. Therefore, experiencing in the material and in the human lack is not the causal belief. Can you say a causal belief? It's the effect of a belief. And that cause of that situation can be so manifold, and in most cases, we will not know what that cause is. Therefore, it's of no use, so to say, to reason from that situation to idea. We first have to see what is that cause, what is what is the cause that is way back, the original cause, let's say, the root cause, yes, or whatever it is, you know what I mean. That has to be rectified. Not the effect of a wrong mentality has to be rectified. The cause of the problem has to be rectified. But as we don't know what that cause is, we must find a method how we can know that cause. And Mrs. Eddy would say, well, only science can do that, because only science is that intelligence which can analyze and uncover and then annihilate the testimony of the material beliefs. So, can you see, therefore, that John Dolly would first say, now, put everything behind you. Don't try to argue with it. You know very well that that is not so easy as it sounds. Everybody knows that when he is in trouble, he constantly ruminates about that trouble, constantly brings it up again and again, revitalizes all the false beliefs, really does everything so that the mortal is become alive again, that the mortal belief is staying alive and is staying with us. It's a hideous belief, really. And so the best thing is to train ourselves to put the problem so behind us that, and to watch our thoughts so much that we are not constantly conversing and discussing with the problem what the problem has to suggest. So we come to the second step that says, now, this is not the solution. It's only the beginning. What step do we have to take? And the second step is what we have seen before too, that the practitioner turns really around and looks into the infinite mind. Can you see, we had discussed before that we have seen that science must reverse a situation. And science is that which says, I go out from God. And so we go out from God. And therefore we are looking into the infinitude of the divine mind. It is as if we would say, we start with the scientific translation of immortal mind, which starts out with God. Can you see that? Go along with it. Huh? And we say, only there in science is the means and method of how to cope with error at all. So, John Dolly would say, so therefore here your treatment begins. You begin to fill your consciousness with God. He could just have said the same in point two, the practitioner turns to the one God, to that mind which really knows all. Just as, that's why those two translations are built on mind, you see, it's a scientific translation of immortal mind. It isn't a scientific translation, say, of immortal spirit or soul or principle. It's typical mind, because it's a process that has to go on in mind so as to correct mortal mind, and consequently the accent is on mind. But as we see then right afterwards, that mind entertains what in consciousness? The first point is God in its wholeness, namely as divine principle, life, truth and love, which translates itself as soul, spirit and mind. That's the first point in that scientific translation. So, therefore, he would say, now, you start your treatment. Treatment starts with God. Fill your consciousness with God. Fill your consciousness with that infinite mind which knows all. What does that infinite mind know? And then you can fill your consciousness and you begin to fill your consciousness with what God is and what He creates. That's always the first point, what He creates. And you sit back and begin your treatment in all quietude, in all stillness, and you begin to realize now what is God as mind, what is God as spirit, what is God as soul, as principle, life, truth and love, and you begin to see that that is in divine mind, that whole nature of God is now cultured in the divine mind, and you begin to see that whole consciousness which you have filled with God, and the definition of God is actually that mind which knows all. And therefore is that mind which will analyze a situation, because only mind knows what's going on, and will analyze the situation, will uncover it, and finally will destroy it. And there comes in always that big question that then the student asks me over and over and over. And this is a big question. And it is a question that doesn't seem to be very clear because of one reason. I think because one has not trained oneself in it. Namely, that we have said that the practitioner at the point two turns to the infinite mind, and then John Dolly would say, because mind knows all, you have the divine mind reading. Mind reading a situation. And that mind reading a situation will bring us to the point three, namely that the true identity of what is called a problem will appear. The true identity. Not the problem as such, but the true idea, that is the fact about that problem, will appear. And there, at that point of divine mind reading, the student has some difficulty. Because he says to himself, but how on earth can I know now what the divine mind knows about the situation? About the situation about which I do not know what is really going on. I only know it's discordant and I suffer under it and I want to get rid of it, but I don't know what's really going on behind the scenes. How on earth can I see the true fact, that is the fact about the specific counterfeit? Now, let's build that up. Can you see, and can you realize that to yourself so that you feel, yes, that's natural? Can you see that only the divine mind knows the truth? I think that's easy to see. And that the human mind does not know the truth. Would you go along with that? That's teaching of Christian Science, that mind, capital M, is all-knowing. And you say to yourself, but I should know. I quite agree that the divine mind knows, but I should know too. If I don't know, what can I do about it? And that's right, we should know too. And then comes that big question mark, how can I know what the divine mind knows? And there is usually the difficulty where the student gives up. He says, well, I tried it, but God didn't speak to me, I didn't hear him. God didn't write in golden letters on the wall what the divine mind knows. And so he gives up. And that's the point where we have to take up the question very seriously and see that if we can't really go along that point, it will always be hopeless for us to give a scientific treatment. It will always be hopeless for us to solve a problem scientifically. We can solve it metaphysically, but not scientifically. It will be hopeless to help the world. And we come slowly into that question that Edith asked, well, how can the system help the world? Slowly we come into that problem, which says, only the divine mind knows it. We have the faintest idea. Not the faintest idea. We are constantly fooled. If we would not be constantly fooled, we would know and we wouldn't have the problem. That's as simple as that. So, the point is, how does that divine mind reveal its answer to us? And you can see very easily again, it has to do something with the scientific translation of immortal mind. How God translates itself to man at to the point of idea. These are the three subtitles in the first translation. God, man, idea. You know that all by heart. So, to the point of idea, and therefore also to the point of understanding, because idea is there defined as the immediate object of understanding. But because we are not always, say, cultured enough in the synonymous terms, and don't really know the synonymous terms and their ideas, because we don't so well yet know the tonality of the seven synonymous terms, we may have difficulty in hearing God speak, or in hearing how the divine mind shows us the true answer. But the point is that if we culture our consciousness in the tonality of the seven synonymous terms, therefore at the point two here, where we turn to the seven synonymous term, entertain what the divine mind knows. The divine mind knows mind and spirit and soul and principle, life, truth and love. That divine mind is also a redundancy principle, because it comprises all ideas. Therefore, that consciousness that is engaged in contemplating really the infinite one through the seven synonymous term includes all truths, all ideas, all answers. So that there is no enigma about that. That's very clear. And the only thing that is not quite clear is, are we clear about those seven synonymous terms? If we are clear about them, then we really rest in assurance in that treatment. We go and look into the infinitude of mind. And I know that that one mind knows all, that it perceives all, comprehends all, sees through all, has an overview of everything, has the power of enlightenment, has the power of inspiration, has the power of bringing everything into action and into movement, so that the divine idea begins to move in our consciousness, that the divine idea begins to move in the world consciousness. I fill my thought with spirit, which says, and this is the only spirit, the only substance on which I can rely. I'm not going to rely on anything else. I'm not relying on information that I get from the body, from the physical senses, from the doctor, from the papers, from the newspapers, from the politics. I only take in the only information about mind, what mind has to tell me and can tell me, that mind can commune infinitely with me and with the universe. Because that divine mind is the only mind, because it's spirit, and therefore it's the only thing that will begin to order a situation, that will begin to unfold in a situation, brings movement into a situation, and in bringing the motion of movement into a situation will begin to unfold the true idea. And I feel my thought, that spirit that is all and the only, is going to do something about that whole situation which brings order into chaos. Or I feel my thought with soul, and I begin to see that soul is all. There is only one testimony that is right. That's a soul testimony. That the physical sense testimony is not right, I don't have to listen to it, I don't have to take it serious. and I begin to fill my thought with the one soul that says, I identify everything clearly and clear-cut. I am soul, and I will crystallize in your thought and in your consciousness exactly that which is necessary. I am the truth-giver. The physical senses are not the truth-giver. I am the truth-giver. I tell you very clearly and definitely, and will do it so that it is unmistakable that you will understand it spiritually. Or I fill my thought with principle and say, yes, that one mind that has all the information and all knowledge is a principle, and therefore will govern everything in the universe and will begin to bring movement in the whole universe so that the whole universe is active in bringing about that solution. I don't see that it is just God coming in a straight line to me and doing something to a situation. God is the sum total of the universe, and I begin to see that that principle really governs everything and brings into operation everything, so that that everything in the universe is really engaged in bringing about the solution. So that round about the situation, everything begins to move and to operate. Or I fill my thought and say, God is life, and that life is all. Which says, that mind which knows all is life. That mind which knows all only wants to bring me the newness of life, will bring something new to us, something new that we have never been thinking of, will bring the revitalization of all that is necessary, of all my love, my adoration for God, that will be revitalized. It will exalt us, it will exalt thought, so that thought can get out of the narrow confines of its own limited conception and view, so that I get a new vision, a brighter vision, a higher vision, and I begin to feel within myself that exaltation which says, golly, this whole situation is going to bless me because it's going to lift me right out of the old tracks and of the old routine and the old rut. It lifts me into the newness of something that is so big, that is so enormous. And it fills my heart with joy, and I feel so hopeful and so full of anticipation of what's going to happen. Or I see that I fill my consciousness with truth and see that one intelligent mind that knows all knows exactly the truth about the situation. It is absolutely aware and conscious of that situation. It knows the right idea that solves that situation. And therefore, as truth, it has dominion over all those errors of the mortal mind and the human mind, and will bring to establishment, will bring to focus, really, the right idea that is saving, because truth is the saver. It wants to save. It does everything in order to force me to be saved. So I have a very active sense about truth as the saver, and feel truth is very, very much engaged that I'm saved, that that situation is being saved. I only have to be willing to let go of my own views and let truth operate the way truth wants to operate, and not the way I like truth to operate. Or you fill your consciousness with love and see, well, that mind reading, which knows all, which knows the right idea, is of the nature of love. Therefore I feel, God, this whole situation is here to bring to fulfillment my true identity, my true mission. It has a plan for me. It acts according to a design. And in that design, everything will help me. Everything will support me. Everything will support the right solution. Nothing is inimical. You say inimical? An enemy. Nothing is inimical to that situation. All friends and enemies want, really, nothing else but to bring a beautiful situation, a beautiful solution. I have no duality. I have not an enemy and a friend. I only have the Christ consciousness as love that says, I want really to bring out a wonderful situation that is the glory for everybody, and everybody will be blessed, and every situation will be blessed. It will not only be a blessing for me, it will be a collective in a blessing, it will be a universal blessing. And in this way, I fill my consciousness with that one mind that knows all. And then I know exactly what you say, and I say, well, I still don't know the answer. I still don't know now what is the specific answer. No, you don't know. You don't know. But what happens is that this is divine mind reading. You read now the universe with the divine mind. And the divine mind reading, what is the divine mind reading? Well, she talks about the divine mind reading in the chapter on spiritualism, and says that it is a revelation of divine purpose. Can you see? It's very big. It's a revelation of divine purpose through spiritual understanding, by which man gains the divine principle and explanation of all things. Terrific. If we get the explanation of all things, well, we have the answer. So she gives here divine mind reading as a principle and says, look here, you can trust that divine mind. You can trust that divine mind, that the divine mind will read a situation so that for your spiritual understanding, the purpose will appear. The purpose will appear. And if it doesn't appear right then, when you give the treatment, it will appear later. It's not always so that we have such a clear and pure and transparent consciousness that right away on the first go, so to say, we can clear our consciousness and our mind to that point where the idea just shines through and just identifies itself. Sometimes it needs to go over it and to refresh our thought again. It needs that we go over it again next day, on the third day, on the fourth day. But also it is so that very often the answer will not come just by an insight of an idea, that an idea comes to you and say, I got it. Very often, that's another point about mind, divine mind reading. The divine mind explains itself to us through 1,000 different ways and means, and not just through speaking to us, not just by we hearing the voice of God. It operates very often that it just brings movement into the whole situation, that things begin to change, that things begin to, well, the best thing is to move, and therefore little by little things begin to fall into place, and sometimes it needs time for that, especially if there are things that where more people are involved or where there is resistance within us to accept a solution. Usually it's that we resist the solution. We mostly resist that solution which God has prepared for us. And so we must not confine ourselves and say, well, God didn't speak to me when I prayed last night. Well, it can come through 1,000 different means and methods and channels. And little by little, that idea gels. You say gels, huh? Crystallizes. Yes.